Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This glorious good news is and always has been too good not to share. It compelled Peter, Paul, and the other apostles to the very ends of the earth, and it continues to drive Lutheran Church Missouri Synod missionaries even today. Learn more here in the April issue of The Lutheran Witness magazine. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
It seems quite hypocritical, actually, for secular progressives on the one hand to say that people ought not to bring religious arguments and religious motivations into the public square, and then on the other hand, to praise Martin Luther King for his work and witness.
Christus Victor is Christ whom the Father sends into the flesh precisely so that he can defeat the enemies of the human race. He's the great warrior striding onto the field.
Blame the Lutherans. They brought us over here.
Everybody blames the Lutherans.
Missouri dairy farmers love issues, etc.
It had been a long time for Abraham and Sarah. By the time we see them again in Genesis 18, and the Lord appears to them there by the oaks of Mamre, telling them only one year left, and by this time next year, Sarah will have a son. That son, Isaac, and from Isaac comes Jacob, and from Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, and eventually that great nation that Abraham had been promised so long ago by God. It's another story of God keeping his promises, but God is, well, we're told, not slow, but patient when it comes to keeping his promises there in the New Testament. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, Abraham's visitors from heaven in Genesis chapters 18 through 21 or so. Mark Hemingway will join us after that. He's written a response to Molly Ringwald's essay in The New Yorker about the man who made her acting career and with whom she is most strongly associated, film director John Hughes. Mark's got some response to that mother's perspective on a career of that, well, legendary director from the 80s, the 90s, and the early 2000s. Pastor Ted Giese joins us to stay in the film genre and to review the movie God's Not Dead, A Light in the Darkness. He says it's kind of a soap opera. We'll find out what he means by that when he joins us in hour two of Issues Etc. Then we'll round everything off on this Tuesday afternoon talking about piety versus pietism. Dr. Russell Don of Concordia University, Irvine, California will be our guest. You can join us. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address, @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson, Abraham's visitors from heaven in Genesis chapter 18, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
So talk about how long Abraham and Sarah had been waiting so far, even when God shows up and says only one more year left.
Yes, the first time God came to Abraham with that promise is found in a couple of chapters before our Sunday school lesson, Genesis chapter 15, when the Lord says to him, the man that you think will be your heir, namely Eliezer of Damascus, no, you will have your very own son shall be your heir. And that was that famous statement. And Abraham believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him as righteousness. Now, that occurred when Abraham was 75 years old, and Sarah was 65. Then in chapter 16, because Sarah still wasn't pregnant, 10 years later, Sarah gave her servant Hagar to Abraham, and he had a son named Ishmael. Now, when our Sunday school lesson begins, this is now when Abraham is 99 years old, and Sarah would be 89 years old. So with this 10-year difference between the two of them, the Lord says, the next year you shall have a son. And boy, Abraham says, you know, I'm 99 years old. How is that going to occur? But God promises it to him. And when he does that, by the way, Sarah laughed within herself because she was listening at the tent door behind him when God came to him with the two angels. And it is at that point that the Lord has something to say to Sarah.
He appears in the form of these three visitors. What should we make of that, Tom?
Traditionally, it's been understood that the one visitor who speaks about five times in the passage, it says it is the Lord. Genesis 18:1, verse 10, 13, 14. And the other two, if you look at Genesis 19:1, it says the two angels came to Sodom in the evening. That's going to Sodom and Gomorrah after the visit with Abraham. So it's been traditionally understood that Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, this is not the first time he appears. For example, Moses and the burning bush. That's another time he's going to appear. He appears a number of times in the Old Testament books. And a lot of times, you know, even though he's referred to as angel of the Lord, when there's a definite article in front of it, the angel of the Lord, that normally shows it's Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. So while there were three, we wouldn't say that the three were Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but at least they definitely, one of them was the second person of the Trinity, and the other two represented the Trinity and were later sent on to Sodom and Gomorrah.
So let's talk about how Abraham reacts to this. He sees these visitors coming, and he doesn't just kind of show them hospitality. He basically puts on his very best hospitality he can.
Yes, this was a custom in those days when people would have a visitor come, and when he saw them, he bowed himself to the earth. And then in verse 4 of chapter 18, let a little water be brought and wash your feet, you know, because it was dusty out there. Rest yourselves under the tree. I'll bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourself. And he then also got Sarah to make flour, bread out of the three seahs of fine flour. That's quite a bit of bread. And they made cakes. They also ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good. And Abraham himself went and got it and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. He took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. It kind of reminds you of going to a pretty nice place where there's a big buffet and it's all the best of food. Abraham was showing hospitality. And there's even a Bible verse that we too should be hospitable towards others, lest we are actually meeting angels unawares. I'll tell you a little story about that. I lived on a main street when I was at my congregation at St. James Lutheran, four-lane street, and a lot of times people would be knocking on the door for money or food and this kind of thing. And I always remember that passage, meeting an angel's unawares. So before I would help them, I would try and see if they were sinners and maybe say something and find what they thought about Jesus or this sort of thing. Because if they were sinners, unrepentant, then I knew they weren't angels. But until then, you know, you just wonder. You have no idea who's coming to your front door.
Does he show this kind of hospitality because he knows who is visiting him? It seems as though Abraham doesn't ever question who they are. He seems to be aware of it.
No, he doesn't. do it on the basis that he thinks it's the Lord. The English translation in verse 3 is, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight. But the Hebrew word there isn't the word for Lord, where it would all be capitals L-O-R-D, Yahweh, but it's rather the Adonai word, namely just somebody who's coming and you think highly of them, respect them, and it would be like our sir. Somebody would come in and knock on the door and you would say, sir, how can I help you? And it isn't that you think that they're of a higher caste than you or something like that. It's just a polite way to do it. So originally, he did not believe that this was God himself.
So they ask about Sarah. She seems to kind of be part of the focus of this story. They ask where she is. She's in the tent. She overhears the promise about a son. And as you mentioned before, her response is it doubt? Is it disbelief? How should we interpret her laughing?
Well, you got to remember that she had already given Hagar over to Abraham after 10 years. Now, here the Lord comes another 15 years later when she's really old, 89. Abraham is 99. And the Bible even says that Sarah was listening at the tent door. They were advanced in years, and the way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. In other words, she couldn't have a baby. So verse 12 says, this is important, each word. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And then the Lord says, and by the way, the word Lord in this case is all in capitals. At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah says, no, I didn't laugh. It wasn't me. For she was afraid, because he said, but you did laugh. And so this is beginning to wake up Sarah to the fact that she's not just talking to an ordinary person here. This is someone who knows what she did within herself and what her own thoughts were. And it's a great example of law and gospel. In fact, I was very happy to see that the Growing in Christ series makes this very point. That first, God gives her the law, accuses her of lying. But in the accusation, along with the promise, she then has faith created within her. And we know that Sarah finally did believe, because it is stated in Hebrews 11, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since, here comes the important part, she considered him faithful who had promised. And that promise, of course, was none other than from Jesus himself in the form of an angel. And the Holy Spirit gave her faith to believe that, because she had realized, boy, if he knows my inner thoughts and what I did in secret, then the Holy Spirit was able to give her that faith to believe that she would also be having a baby 1 year later when she was 90 and Abraham was 100.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Abraham's Visitors from Heaven, in Genesis chapter 18. We'll talk a little bit about the fulfillment of that promise 1 year later when we come back from this break.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our Synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the Synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fikencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
If you like to travel and have an interest in Italy's Christian art and history, this coming September you will have the opportunity to take part in a Lutheran-sponsored trip exploring Italy's rich heritage. Destinations will include the Sistine Chapel, the Colosseum and Christian catacombs of Rome, medieval towns like Assisi, Renaissance art and architecture in Florence and Venice, and the wine country of Tuscany. Further details about this trip are available at italytour2018.org. Space is limited, so go today to italytour2018.org.
The story itself is so intriguing, it would be easy to make the story of Abraham and Sarah here under the oaks of Mamre, the divine visitors coming and speaking this promise all about Sarah or her unbelief, her belief, as the case may be. But in the Growing in Christ material for this Sunday school lesson that we're basing our conversations with Pastor Tom Baker on, says this, Genesis 21 records the fulfillment of God's promise. The Lord visited Sarah in grace and enabled her to give birth to Isaac, the son through whom God would ultimately fulfill his greatest promise to Abraham. God would bless all the families of the earth with salvation by sending Jesus, son of Isaac, son of Abraham, son of God, for the salvation of the world. That's how they understand the story of Sarah and Abraham and their divine visitors. It is one step on the way to Jesus Christ, his fulfillment of that salvation through his cross, his death, and his resurrection. That's typical of the Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House. They'll send you some samples that you can read for yourself. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. You mentioned before the break, Tom, that she is given faith, even though she expresses this unbelief in her laughter. She is given faith by the promise, and she does, in fact, conceive. Take us to the fulfillment in Genesis 21.
Yes. Want to just back up just a bit with something you said that just struck me, that, of course, this is all about Jesus. There's nothing in the Old Testament that isn't about Jesus. Think about it. This angel, who is Jesus, is telling Abraham that through Sarah, the seed would continue to the Messiah, that he himself would become and therefore have to be crucified on a cross. Had he not obeyed his father's will and gone to Abraham and made that promise to Abraham and Sarah, then we all would be going to hell. It shows once more how loving Jesus is. I read recently a poet talking about when he died on the cross, Jesus is the creator of the world who made all the trees, one of which was used to crucify him. He made all the plants, one of which had thorns that went into his head. He made all the iron in the world, one of which was fastened to the cross by the spikes that were made out of metal. And he went through about a whole bunch of things. And You need to get across to the Sunday school children how much God was involved in this right from the very beginning. And so when we move to your question about the fulfillment of the promise, I'm sure much people would look at verse 2, and Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time at which God had spoken to him. And so you might get the idea Sarah did her part, but you need to read verse 1 of chapter 21. How did this happen? It says, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. Now, this was not a virgin birth, such as what happened to Mary. This was a regular conception and birth, Abraham and Sarah. But it again shows you that it would have been impossible had the Lord not stepped in and done this. And I think you could even do some theology about how every conception and birth is the work of the Lord, and therefore how precious are the children even within the womb. Now, after the birth took place, remember, Mary was told his name would be Jesus. The father of John the Baptizer was told his name would be John. In this case, Abraham was told his name would be Isaac. And a lot of people don't realize that the names in the Hebrew and Greek often had meaning, like Jesus, he saves us. Isaac means laughter. And Sarah understands that. In verse 6, she says, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. I don't think she's saying that in a negative way, but that in those days, when a woman was childless, that almost was like a curse. All you have to do is read the book of Ruth. Remember Naomi, after her two sons were killed and her line wouldn't continue? They weren't killed. They just died. But be that as it may, she called her name bitter. Because in those days, if a woman didn't have her line continue, she had to take care of herself. She had to go out in the fields and gather her food, etc., etc. So that when Ruth ended up marrying Boaz, what a huge gift that was for Ruth. And I believe the same here. Sarah says, because of the name Isaac, the one who laughs, she says, who would have said to Abraham before this that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And that is another way in which she considered herself to be quite blessed. And the book of Hebrews is correct that God had given her that faith to believe the promises of that angel, Jesus Christ, that one year from that visit, she would bear a son. And what happened with her is the same thing that happened with Abraham. She believed, and it was accounted to her as righteous.
And it's not as though, and this is how I would like to kind of wrap this up with you, Tom, it's not as though Abraham and Sarah then said, okay, promise fulfilled, all is well, because Isaac's just one son, and the promise, if you go back to the ones you had talked about before the break, the promises of a great nation and all nations, and he'd become the father of many nations. There's still a lot of the promise yet to be fulfilled.
And that's why one chapter later, we're astonished when Abraham is told to kill, sacrifice Isaac, and he actually prepares to do so. We want to wait and show what was really going on there at that time. But he believed, indeed, that Isaac would be the one to continue the line. And it wasn't Ishmael, and it certainly wasn't Eliezer, but it was Isaac. And that's where trust comes in. Trust means regardless of the evidence against what appears to be happening, God is faithful and he will keep his promises. And you said it at the beginning, he is patient to do so. And that at times is what we need to be, patient as we see the promises fulfilled, not only in the world, not only in the church, but in our own individual lives, day after day after day.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Find out more about Law and Gospel under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Mark Hemingway. There was a long essay in the New Yorker that appeared a couple of days ago, written by the actress Molly Ringwald. She was reflecting on not only her career, but a long career, a long and very storied career of a film director who was integral in her success, John Hughes. He made some of the movies that, well, people of my age watched all throughout our teenage and young adult lives. He made some movies that people remember simply by name that they quote as cult classics. Mark's going to respond to a little bit of that essay when we come back. Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard will be our guest. Stay tuned.
Often misunderstood as sort of a to-do list for women.
Deaconess Elizabeth Ullman, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman.
Or something that we have to strive to be, and it's very often pulled out of its moorings. It's pulled out of its context and not really put into the context of the rest of the book of Proverbs.
Learn more about Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman at issuesetc.org.
Oh, Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
"40 Years Greatly Blessed" is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Are you a high schooler who enjoys theology? Do you know a high schooler who would make a good pastor or deaconess? Every summer, Concordia Theological Seminary offers programs for vocational discernment and theological education for high school students. Check out Christ Academy and Phoebe Academy this summer, June 17th through the 30th. Registrations open now. Email us at christacademy@ctsfw.edu or register online. Christ Academy at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, June 17th through the 30th.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.